Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will, while I am waiting, yielded and still. You know, if you ever watched a potter working with a piece of clay on a wheel, it's important that everything stays centered on that wheel while that working is going on, while that pressing and molding and shaping is happening. And I think it's so much easier to do with a piece of clay than it is with people. Because after all, we've been given the gift of free will. Sometimes we struggle with whether that's even a gift or not. Because there's a tension that, you know, when we're being molded and shaped into God's will, there's that tension that lies between the will of God and our own will, and trying to figure out which is which and where we are in the middle of it all. But God is a potter who is able to shape and mold in ways that we could never dream of asking. You know, we have been talking a lot about the life of Jeremiah the prophet and all the different ways and all the different things that he was living out life and all the different messages that he was called to preach to the people in all kinds of different ways. And I think that today's message is probably one of the most powerful that he ever preached. Now, and it's because it seems to come in the twinkling of an eye, it really was a message that God had breathed into him a long time ago. And it was living and growing in him. And it comes to life today. If you read some of the chapters before chapter 18, you'll see that all the time the word keeps happening to Jeremiah. The word keeps coming to Jeremiah. And he keeps calling out to the people. Turn back to God. Turn back to God. God's not going to let us just keep doing what we want forever. We need to be in that relationship. And that there's warnings that come with that, and there's some of them are difficult to follow and even hard to think of and imagine. But Jeremiah continues to offer this invitation to turn back to God and to know God's love. And here at chapter 18, he says, "This is the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Go down to the potter's house, and there I will give you my message." So I went down to the potter's house, and I saw him working at the wheel. But the pot he was shaping from clay was marred in his hands. So the potter formed it into another pot, shaping as it seemed best to him. Then the word of the Lord came to me. "O house of Israel, can I not do with you as the potter does?" declares the Lord. "Like clay in the hand of a potter, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. If at any time I announce that a kingdom or kingdom is to be uprooted, torn down, and destroyed, and if that nation I warned repents of its evil, then I will relent and not inflict on it the disaster I had planned. And if at another time I announce that a nation or kingdom is to be built up and planted, and if it does evil in my sight and does not obey me, then I'll reconsider the good I had intended to do for it. Now therefore, say to the people of Judah and those living in Jerusalem, this is what the Lord says. Look, I am preparing a disaster for you, devising a plan against you. So turn from your evil ways, each one of you, and return from your ways and your actions." May God add His blessing to the reading, to the hearing, but more importantly, our deeper understanding and that coming alive of God's Word in our lives and in this world that we live in. Jeremiah's words in the last half of what I just read sometimes seem harsh. So it's sometimes one of those pieces of Scripture that maybe we'd like to jump over or dance around. And the book of Jeremiah is filled with lots of words like that. But really, if you look at what's woven through that all, again, is that invitation to turn back and to trust God and to remind us that our life is a journey. It's not something that's cast in set stone. That God is a God who has created people in God's image. And that God is at work in all the ages of time, shaping and molding. Shaping and molding us as individuals, as families, as communities, and even as nations. The other day I was riding back from a meeting I had over in Queensbury. It was Friday afternoon. The rain was pouring down, and as many of you know, some of the most inspirational things that I come along on those journeys are on the billboards at churches and at firehouses. But Even with all the rain on Friday, those boards seemed rather dry. And there wasn't much food for thought growing along the way. But suddenly I found a message to think about and ponder right in front of me. It was on the back of a CarQuest delivery van. And on the back of that, their motto is, "We're proudly serving a world in motion." And I couldn't help but think of Jeremiah. Because I can't tell you whether Jeremiah was proudly serving a world in motion, but I can tell you that he was faithfully serving a world in motion. And he stops here at this message to try to get the people's attention and help them to see how relevant, as I talked with the children about earlier, how relevant the actions that we carry out today, what an impact they have on who we become 10, 20 years from now. Again, a reminder that God is at work shaping and molding us in all of our lives. As Jeremiah wrestles with how to get the word to the people, to how to get their attention, to make sense of what's going to happen, to get them to turn back before God does some of these things that Jeremiah says God's going to do. God shows up and He speaks through Jeremiah's imagination in a very real and a very creative way. He says, "Jeremiah, get up and go down to the potter's house. There I'll tell you. There I'll let you see what you need to say to the people." Now I think for this message to come home, we need to first think about the importance of the potter's house to this world that he was talking about. The potter's house was one of those places in town where everybody knew something was happening. It's a place that they could count on to know what was going on there. They knew that potter was faithful and hard at work at his wheel because they'd been there on many occasions, certainly to drop off orders of things that they needed, certainly to pick up things that they had ordered, maybe to go with a friend to drop off or pick up something. Life happened here. He's saying, "Jeremiah, go right down to where it's all happening. Don't sit here by yourself. Don't dwell about it up in a church service. Go out into the streets where life's going on." God's call on our lives isn't to be set aside, but to be. God doesn't call us to live by faith by withdrawing from everyday life. God calls us to live by faith by plunging us into the depths of it and bringing the presence of God right into out into all that's going on. That's what Jeremiah does here. Peterson really opened in a book that I've been reading and sharing some of this from, some of the information that I've learned along the way with you. "Run with the Horses" is the name of the book again. Peterson raises up a point I'd never thought about that goes along with the story. And that's the importance and the significance of pottery. Because he points out that pottery is one of those creations in history that changed the world. It transformed people's lives. Without pottery, they were forced to follow and to lead their herds from one feeding spot to the next, from one watering hole to the next. They were dealing with one emergency after another. They never had time to step back and reflect on life, to put down roots, to settle into a place that they were going to pass on to the next generation. But pottery changed all that. With pottery, suddenly the grain that was gleaned from the fields could be stored in these pots and used during the winter. It could be shared with other people. They didn't have to live right next to the watering hole because they could have a clay pot and go down to that watering hole and gather there with friends and fill it up with water and bring it back home again. And while that was certainly a lot of work, nothing like we have it today when we open the faucet and have that water come out, it was still a heck of a lot better than having to pick up your house and move it every time the water hole went dry. Can you imagine what our life would be like if we didn't have containers? Can you imagine if there was no Gladware, if there was no Tupperware, if there was no Corningware, if there was nothing to hold our food in, to cook our food in, to carry our things in? If there were no bags and no boxes, there were no fuel tanks or refineries, storage tanks for fuel, can you imagine how different our world would be? This is the world that Jeremiah is talking to back in the 7th century. a world that's moving from into a better way, a different way of living. The other interesting thing about pottery is that there's no potter out there that can just make a pot. Everything that potter makes is a piece of artwork. Something to be not only enjoyed, but admired and treasured as well. Each piece is unique. Each piece is different. Even if it was the same design, it's still going to come out different. It's not mass-produced like things are in our world. That pottery was both useful and beautiful, all at the same time. That's another piece that's very different from our world today, isn't it? We've got those things that are beautiful, those things that we hang on our walls, those things that we put on our shelves, those things that we invite people to come over and look at. Tell them the story about where we found them. Tell them what they mean to us. But we'd never dare put something in them because something might happen to it. And then there's those things that we use every day. Those things that are under the stove, that are under the counter by the sink, that sit on top of the counter from day to day that we can just reach over, pick up, and use. Because we couldn't get through the week without them. In Jeremiah's world, these pots that were being made were one and the same. There wasn't no room for both. So both beautiful and useful, and each one unique. The other thing I think that stands out to me about pottery is it's always got some kind of an imperfection in the middle of it all. Very often there's something that looks like a crack here, and in fact might be one. There's a dimple here or a hole there, and it makes you wonder how the thing even holds water sometimes. Sometimes flaws are what really make them beautiful. They're what really make them a treasure. Especially if there's something that we know where they came from. Maybe it's something a child or a grandchild made for you on a potter's wheel. Taking their time to create. And certainly may not be something that you're going to find down at JCPenney or Macy's or in an art store on a shelf. But it's something that's absolutely priceless in your life. Sometimes those flaws are not only what make it beautiful, but they make them useful. I remember the story of a woman in an African village. Every day she would gather up her two pots, one on each shoulder, and she'd walk down to where they found their living waters, down to that place where they found the spring, where people could gather together and fill up their jars and bring them back to the house. Every day she'd walk down there, she'd talk about life there at the watering hole. She'd talk about the kids. She'd talk about her parents. She'd talk about how difficult it could sometimes be living with both of them all around her at the same time. She'd talk about what she'd seen on the way down. She'd listen to the stories of those that she gathered with. Then she'd gather up the water and head home. One pot was always full when it got to the top of the hill, and the other pot was always about 3/4 full. Because you see, right in the side, just a little ways down, there was a crack. And so water was constantly just kind of trickling, just kind of spraying ever so slightly out the side of it. One day these two pots kind of had themselves a little conversation. And that pot that seemed ever so perfect was there. That there was the one that was flawed. And the one that was so perfect talked about how useful it was and how it enjoyed being able to carry so much water. And what a difference, you know, what a difference it was making in the lives of those that were there at the house when they got back. And then there was that one that was cracked and flawed. It really struggled with that hole in the side and began to share from its heart how difficult it was to feel so useless sometimes. How almost shameful it felt that by the time it got to the bottom of the hill, it couldn't hold all the water. It felt like it wasn't carrying its own weight. That seemingly perfect pot listened carefully and said, "Yes, but you know, while I get up there with all the water that the people enjoy, look at how beautiful you're making the world around us." And that cracked pot looked at him and said, "What in the world are you talking about?" He says, "Well, haven't you noticed That our own ear carries you on the same side of her body every time? And haven't you noticed that on that side of the trail, that's where the food's growing? That's where the flowers are growing? That's where it's so beautiful? Well, the reason that's happening is because of all the water that kind of seeps out of your side as she makes her way back up the hill. Sometimes those flaws are what really make us useful. Sometimes those flaws and those around us that they struggle with the most are what make the biggest difference in our lives. But what happens when the crack becomes too big? What happens when that pot isn't what it's supposed to be anymore? Well, Jeremiah saw this in the potter's hand. It was a piece of cake. It wasn't coming out the way it should. He just threw it back on the wheel and made another pot. It sounds real simple. But all the work that goes into that, the time that goes into that, the pushing and prodding and shaping and molding to let it come alive again in another way. I remember several years ago now, I was out in Phoenix, Arizona. I'd been there at a Promise Keepers conference for pastors. And at the end of that conference, we'd taken some time to stay out there and just travel through Arizona. And February is a beautiful place, beautiful time of year to be there. And what I loved about Arizona in that time of year was that when you drove through different corners of the state, it was like driving into a whole new climate. It was like a whole new season. Some places you could have your shorts on, and the next place you needed your snowshoes. I remember we stopped along the roadside, not too far from the Grand Canyon. It was a Native American woman that was there. She had a tent that was set up, a table underneath it. And all of these different things that she'd been making out of clay was selling there. There was one picture that caught my eye. Really, something about the colors in the clay that really drew me to it. But it was also one of the cheapest pieces that she'd had. It was about $7 because it had been there for so long she couldn't sell it to anybody. There was a big chunk that was taken right out of the rim. And there was a crack that went down from it a little way. Nobody wanted it. And so I bought it. And I brought it back home. And every time I did a baptism from that moment on, every time I baptized a child, used that pitcher to hold the water before pouring it into the baptismal font, is a reminder that in a sense we're all cracked pots. Every one of us has flaws. Not a one of us is perfect. And if that shatters your image of yourself this morning, I'm sorry. But it's just the way it is. I'm reminded every morning when I look in the mirror. One year we were using it for a special worship service outside. On the way back into my office, it slipped out of my hands. It broke into about eight pieces. So I picked it up and I put it in a box. And I asked everybody I could think of how to put it back together. I never got around to really trying any of them, so we packed it up and we moved it up here. And put it on the shelf and began to try to find somebody else that could help me find a better way to put it back together. Suddenly one day the wind caught the door, slammed it a little too hard. This box that it was in fell off the shelf. Here's a little of what's left of it. It was at that point I gave up trying to find somebody to help put it back together. But I'm so glad that God's not limited like I am. I'm so glad that there's no crack that can become so big in us that God can't put it all back together. I'm so glad that the God who is at work creating each and every one of us is the God who created salvation and redemption and comes to make us whole. Then when we find ourselves broken, God can put us back together again. Have you ever been in that place? You ever felt like you were so broken that there's no one in the world that could put you back together again? You think back on it now. How did God shape you and mold you in that time? How did God heal you and fill you and bring you to a new place in life? Maybe you're in that place right now. Maybe you're still, maybe you feel like you've kind of come out of that place and you're still on that potter's wheel. There that I hope that you see how caring that potter was that Jeremiah saw at work. Not judgmental and picking up that piece and throwing it away, but gently putting it back on the wheel and shaping it again in a new way. Jeremiah makes it clear that each and every one of us is created to carry God's glory. We see that theme come out time and time again in the Bible. We see it in Genesis when God reaches down, picks us up, shapes us and molds us, breathes life into us. We see it come alive in Jeremiah. We hear it come alive in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. When Paul's writing about the light of God, the glory of God that's been given to us to shine through us. But it's been given to us in these earthen clay jars. Sometimes flawed, never perfect. But yet God's light always present, shining through us. God works in our lives, shaping and molding us, not only as individuals, but as a church as well. As the people of God all around the world. Today is Laity Sunday in the United Methodist Church. A day when it's set aside to remember that each and every one of us is called to be a part of the kingdom of God. Each and every one of us is created unique, just like those pots we've been talking about. Each and every one of us has unique talents and gifts to share with one another. Each and every one of us has flaws that God can work through in ways that we could never dream of if we're willing to just step out in faith. God calls us to be faithful, not to be perfect. Dr. Oscar Harrell, who's the lay leader of the New England Conference, he's been known for coining the phrase clayity. He says clayity is the clergy and laity that make up the church being shaped and molded into the people of God in this time and in this place. Called not to be set aside in a special place separated from everyday life and everything that's going on in the world, but to be plunged right out into the depths of everyday life where we can share the love and grace of Jesus Christ with everyone we meet. Let's join our hearts together in prayer. Lord, we thank You that You don't give up on us, that You know that each and every one of us is a work in progress. You know the places we've been. You know the things we've been through. And Lord, in the middle of it all, You've been at work, shaping and molding us into who we are today. We thank You, Lord, that the choices we make today, those choices that we make to work with You and to walk with You will help and to shape us into who we'll be tomorrow and in the years to come. We pray that You continue to help us to recognize Your presence, shaping us and molding us in the here and now, not only as individuals, but as a church. We pray that You'd fill us with Your love and pour it out into the world in a fresh new way every day. As we ask all of this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.